You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new episode of Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that, just like Baby Yoda, has been canceled for eating too many eggs. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Samantha.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first let's talk about some things we have been checking out.
Check it out!
Well, you said a Star Wars, so I had to play a Chewbacca.
Yeah, I did.
Yep. All right.
Have you guys watched the Mandalorian?
I have not cracked season two yet. I need to get on that.
I watched the first two episodes.
Yeah, that's all that's out right now, and we're caught up, so.
Okay. Well, you guys go ahead and talk about it. I mean, I'll get caught up over the weekend. By the time our gentle listeners are listening to this, I will probably have been caught up to it. So go ahead. It's cool.
I mean, there's not a whole lot to say other than it's been really, really good.
I mean, yeah, first episode-y, we go back to Tatooine again.
Again.
which I was initially worried, but I think they did better this time around.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't feel as ham-fisted as...
Especially since they're kind of tapping at the EU well again.
Yeah, there was actually just some direct Knights of the Old Republic stuff.
Oh, nice.
And Amy Sedaris' character came back, and she's great, so that's good. She's been in both episodes, actually.
Really? Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah.
So what's this thing about Baby Yoda eating eggs or something?
Oh, man. So I guess people are awfully mad because in the second episode, the kind of the plot device or the driving force of the whole episode is Mandalorian is a taxi service. And he's been contracted to drive this frog lady to the next system over so her and her husband can continue their family line with this backpack fish tank full of eggs she's got.
Oh, yeah, okay.
She's got a backpack full of unfertilized eggs that she has to take to her husband.
Okay, I can kind of see where this is going.
And, Baby Yoda thinks, hey, those look pretty good to eat.
Hey, free snack.
Yeah.
More like free snacks.
Yeah, he eats at least four or five of those things.
Oh, jeez. At least he doesn't eat all of them.
Like some people were calling it Baby Yoda in the forbidden boba tea.
they do look like little boba. Little bubble tea bobas.
Yeah, so I guess we should probably talk about the two episodes separately instead of just mishmashing everything together. So... In the first episode, the whole point of Mando going back to Tatooine is he's trying to find more Mandalorians. Since the covert or whatever got broken up on the one planet he was on, he's got to find him again.
And they'll point him in the way of where Baby Yoda lives, I guess.
Or needs to go or whatever.
Yeah.
And so this guy tells Boba, there's a Mandalorian on Tatooine, which, you know, fans have known that since, 1986 or whatever.
I was going to say, yeah, I'm pretty sure there is at least one Mandalorian somewhere on or in possibly Tatooine.
So he goes back, lands back at the spaceship mechanic lady, and he points him in the direction of a little town. And he goes to the inn or the tavern or the bar or whatever you want to call it, cantina. And he's like, well, I'm looking for a Mandalorian. And the bartender guy's like, well, maybe you need to talk to the marshal. And he turns around, and there is Boba Fett standing there.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. They're dropping
Except
that
it,
in.
It's not really.
Oh, it's not? Okay.
It's Timothy Elephants.
Oh. Okay.
And he's wearing Boba Fett's armor.
gotcha. Okay. So is that kind of the main thrust of the first episode, is going to this town and you see a fake DeLorean?
Well, yeah, they team up with sand people who are characterized really well.
I heard about that. Well, with the modified American Sign Language, right?
Yeah, it's really cool. They really treat the Tusken Raiders in an interesting way that maybe the other movies haven't really.
Yeah, interesting that they treat them here like that. And then if you think back to, what, Attack of the Clones?
Yeah.
Anakin maybe wasn't quite as cool a dude.
Yeah.
I mean, even Mando himself goes like, look, I understand they are a savage, hard people, but they live here too.
Oh, okay.
Like there's no like saying they're not.
Mm.
Like they are raiders. They do raid areas.
But they live in the awfulest of desert, so they don't really have a choice.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Well, I
kind of see them as like the indigenous people of Tatooine.
I was just going to say it's almost like, it sounds like this episode is very American Western inspired, because you have the town with the sheriff, the corrupt sheriff, and you have the indigenous people.
Well, he's not corrupt,
but he's clearly being something he's not by is he like posing
as Amanda. He's a Mandalorian. Yeah, he is.
So, and at least in that case, he is, you know, at least not
he
on
fits
the level.
That trope,
yeah,
I
he
think.
Fits the trope. But no, this is actually a pretty stock standard kind of Western, like storyline. But it sounds like it works. It sounds like it worked for this episode. So that's awesome.
And there's a giant crate dragon that's awesome.
Oh, cool! All right.
Yeah, we actually finally see a crate dragon.
Nice, nice.
And at first I thought it was like a sandworm from Dune.
Yeah. I was like, they could get one of those teeth off of it and make a pretty good Chris knife.
Do we want to talk about like the end episode kind of stinger thing?
Oh, yeah. We saw somebody walking around in the desert eyeballing that Boba Fett armor that Mando has now.
Oh,
and it was probably Boba Fett.
It was probably Boba Fett, yeah.
Like, he turns around, and it's straight up the guy who played Jango.
The guy, yeah. Okay. I was just going to say, the guy who played Jango, or possibly Aquaman's dad.
Tamara Morrison?
Yes, that's the guy, yeah.
Tony Morrison.
Jim Morrison.
Jim Morrison walking through the desert, hoping to find some Mando armor. No. But no, that's awesome. I knew he was going to show up. I knew Boba Fett was going to play a fairly large part in this season. I didn't think they were going to introduce it this early, I guess.
Well, that's all they've really done. I mean, we don't know if he's going to come back or if it was just this one bit or what.
I'm sure he's going to come back for multiple bits. It's Boba Fett. Come on.
Oh, there's a
really, everybody
there's a
loves
really
the
funny
Fett man.
Where Mando and fake Boba are shooting at the crate dragon and stuff, and Mando's like, well, protect the kid, and he hits the backpack with his rifle and sends him shooting off, kind of like how Han did in Return of the Jedi.
Oh, nice.
Oh, also, he uses that stupid backpack missile.
Oh, he does, yeah. Finally? Oh, that's excellent.
Like twice.
Excellent.
He does it like twice.
He has to bend over when he uses it, and it looks so stupid. But like at the same time, like, I don't know, great.
Yeah.
And it looked just like in the game Masters of Terras Cassie when you unlock Boba Fett and you use the missile.
God.
It looks the exact same.
Oh, don't remind me of Masters of Terrasai. Oh,
but you
God.
Didn't like that game?
Oh, God, no. Are you kidding me? Oh, that okay. Masters of Terras Kasai was a fighting game that was developed for the Star Wars IP, and it was janky and ugly and terrible, and not like the good jank, not like the fun jank that you play because it's broken, and go, oh, can you believe this 27 hit combo because They didn't fix the hitbox on this one attack. No, it's just like it doesn't work. Everything is janky. Nothing works.
It's not like so bad it's good, like Castlevania Judgment.
Right. Yeah. Oh my god. Don't get me started on the Castlevania Judgment. That is also. That is so bad it's good, though. I do.
Yeah.
There's.
And it has fun character designs, I think.
Yeah, that helps. That helps it for sure.
Mando episode 2 picks up where, you know, Mando's going back to Mos Eisley or whatever. And that's when what's-her-face lady, the mechanic lady, tells her about, well, if you do this, we'd be able to find you more Mandalorians, yada yada. You just got to transport this frog lady who Mando can't talk to.
He doesn't speak frog.
Yeah.
Also, she has a Yoshi tongue and just kind of looks like a realistic Yoshi.
Oh, wow.
That's what I thought when I first saw her. I'm like, that's just like a real Yoshi.
And Mando's mad because he can't go into light or hyperdrive because it'll kill the eggs.
Oh, okay. So
it has to go the long way around, kind of.
Yeah.
So then as they're putting through space or whatever, two X-Wings show up and start harassing Mando a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then they realize that he is the same. It's the same ship that attacked that New Republic prison ship in the first season.
Mm.
And it turns into a real epic space chase.
Well, cool. That sounds really awesome. So these are coming out on Fridays. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Friday.
Well, very awesome. Yeah, I'm hoping to get caught up on all of it this weekend, and hopefully we'll continue to cover the show and for the next couple of weeks because they're doing another limited run, right? It's not like a full. It's only like 10 episodes, 8 or 10 episodes.
Yeah, I feel like it's like 8 or 10.
Yeah, and that's perfect. That's actually a perfect amount for the series.
I was worried that they weren't going to stick it again. I figured like we got lucky. And the first one was really good. And now that everybody's got their eyes on it, they're going to have a hard time pulling out a second season that's as good. But no, it picks up just right at the same level that the first season left off. So,
yeah,
it's good.
I'm not going to get worried about it until the fourth season. Because by the fourth season, probably most stories, if they've kept Baby Yoda and they're still looking for where Baby Yoda goes after four seasons, then there might be an issue.
Yeah. Also, like, I love how, like, being Mando, he still gets, like, his butt kicked or his shit messed up in a really bad way, like, all the time. Like, he's not, like, this infallible death machine.
That makes the character believable and likable. I could talk about the one thing I kind of did. This was a couple weeks ago. We've talked about Studio 35 doing bad movie nights in the past. They kind of had to take a break because of COVID and finally were able to get back down to see one. This was the Friday. It would have been the 30th, so it would have been the day before Halloween. And it was great. They played the movie Hack-O-Lantern, which is, oh man, it is so corny, so cheesy. It has to deal with this small town and this old guy who I guess everyone just knows is the leader of a satanic cult, but also they buy pumpkins off him, and he's not like, and I mean, he's creepy, but he's not like, I'm going to get you later, creepy. It's just like, no, that's
the only place they can get pumpkins.
That's old man Johnson. Yeah, you know, great pumpkins, kind of a Satan worshiper, but, you know, otherwise. And the whole thing is
Poe Buddy's nerfic.
Poe Buddy's nerfic. Yeah, exactly. We all have our things, you know. But the whole thing is the guy's grandson was kind of marked to become like the new leader of their cult. And you see a flashback, the first 20 or so minutes of the movie. He's a kid, and the grandpa's like, hey, I got some special necklace for you to hang on to until you're ready. And then it cuts to present day, or the 80s, I guess. And the guy's kind of pathetic. He's just a weird metalhead that lives in his mom's basement.
Like you do.
Yeah, but like, for it being a slasher horror movie, there are only three kills, and they're pretty tame. The one thing I will say is it very much is Halloween themed. Like, it takes place on a Halloween. There are pumpkins everywhere. A large portion of it takes place at the town Halloween dance. Like, the wildest dance in Podunk, Kansas I've ever seen committed to film, because there was a stripper that went full nude in this weird, like, church basement Halloween party that had nothing to do with, like, the cult stuff. This is just some party.
This is regular towny stuff.
This is just regular towny stuff. Yeah, and of course, it's Bad Movie Night, so they chopped it all to heck, and they added a bunch of explosions, and they added a bunch of dumb stuff here and there, and it really just made it really, really enjoyable. The other thing that I did, also movie-related, on Halloween night itself, Jordan and I went to the Ontario Spring Mill Drive-In. It was the last night they were going to be open for the season, and they played three classic, like the Universal classic movies. We watched the original Dracula, the original Frankenstein, and the original Wolfman up on the big screen.
Nice.
It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. I love those movies. I forget how slow they can be at times, but they looked excellent up on the big screen. They sounded great. They still hit. They still hit, and they were still great. I loved it. It was super enjoyable. Highly recommended.
I think Wolfman is the only one of that set I haven't seen.
Wolfman is, if I were the one running the box office that night, I would have probably put Wolfman in the middle. I would have started with Frankenstein and ended with Dracula, because Wolfman is definitely the weakest of the three. And by the end of the night, Wolfman, we were watching Wolfman, and we just kind of decided halfway through to leave, because it's really slow. It's a lot of, I mean, the spectacle of that movie was look at a man turn into a wolfman on screen with the time lapse effects, which in the 30s was a big deal. But the story
now looks very silly.
Oh, it looks incredibly silly now. But in that mindset, it was impressive. But the plot is a lot of, oh no, I may be the wolfman. Stay away. I'm a wolfman for 90%. And then he turns into a wolfman and runs through the woods or something.
If I was in charge of that billing, I would have replaced it with Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yes, that would have been a really good one. I would have as well. That would have been excellent. Or do a triple feature of Frankenstein movies. Give me Bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah.
That would have been good too.
Frankenstein holds up really well. It does. Really good.
Oh yeah. And so does Dracula. Dracula still holds up. There's a scene in which Van Helsing and Dracula are having like a battle of wits, where they're just kind of talking back and forth to each other. And I don't know, like you can feel the energy between the two actors when it's Van Helsing is going, I knew you were a vampire from the time I first laid eyes on you. We will stop you. And Dracula going, I can come over there and just end you right now, but I would rather see you humiliated. So I'm going to keep doing my thing, and you're just going to have to deal. That is exactly what they said.
It's word for word.
Yep. Dracula's like, hey, Van Helsing, put up or shut up. But
did we talk about the Bram Stoker's Dracula?
I don't think so.
Because we did watch that over Halloween.
Oh, you did? Okay.
It's very good.
It's really good, right?
It is. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
But also, Gary Oldman's a great actor, though.
Yeah.
Everybody was pretty good in it, except for maybe Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, that was kind of the era where Keanu Reeves was, in his brain, he was still Ted from Bill and Ted, but he was trying to, like, branch out.
He hadn't been Neo yet.
Right. Yeah. I am Jonathan Harker. You must be Count Dracula.
all the set design has is like that crazy like 90s big budget real set design that you never see anymore.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I was saying, like the Batman movies have it.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And what I was going to say is what I like about it is a pretty faithful adaptation of the 1930s Dracula. Like a lot of the same or very similar kind of scenes take place in that, in a similar progression to the original. Like it's pretty close. It's pretty close as far as adaptations go.
Yeah. I mean, versus where you have like, you know, between like the Boris Karloff mummy and the 99 mummy, where there are two totally different films,
completely different films, but they kind of had to do that because, well, the original Mummy was kind of boring as well.
Oh, it's crazy boring.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, but it's a different, it's a different kind of film. Like it's like a,
it was a different time. Like a, it was a different,
like a psychological horror.
Sure. Sure. Well, and they, all of these were kind of more psychological horror kind of, but yeah, the Mummy was just, man, the original Mummy, the new
Frasier's, I had a hard time making it through the original Mummy.
Yeah. Frasier's The Mummy is good. I like that one quite a bit.
Brendan Fraser, not...
Niles, come here.
Niles.
Good Lord, Niles. Why are you covered in scarabs?
This mummy is still juicy, Niles.
Niles. All right. And with that, let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we'll get into some news.
Hey, we're back. That was Roundabout by Yes, because JoJo.
I was going to say, is that a JoJo reference?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
All right. So, hey, let's go ahead and get into some of this news.
Oh man, there's second noise.
I was expecting it.
No second noise. Well, you know, I can't play it. I can't play a second noise every single time because then it gets stale. You gotta keep. I gotta keep you guys on your toes.
True.
Yeah. All right. So let's go ahead and start talking about some of this stuff. So I guess the big news this week or this weekend are the two new game consoles, the Xbox Series X and the PS5. They both released this past Thursday, is that correct?
I believe so. At least this week. They came
Sometime this week at least, yeah. So what have you guys heard about them? I know everything I know about it has been second and third hand because I probably won't be getting one anytime soon, if at all. But what have you guys heard?
This has been a weird console launch for me because usually, you know, I'll get excited and want to buy one of them. But for some reason, this time around, I just don't care. Nothing about them is exciting me to make me want to purchase either one.
Well, for one thing, there's no real killer app for this. There's no real like launch title game that everyone has to go out and play. Like when the Switch launched, it didn't have many games, but it had Breath of the Wild, and that was it. That was the game everyone had to play. There's really nothing I can think of that is coming exclusively to either of these new systems that isn't already going to be playable on the previous systems. And I don't know. I've heard these two game systems be compared to the iPhones, how you know how the halfway in between each major numbered revision of the phone, there's like an X or an S, like the halfway point. That's the way I've heard these systems kind of compared, that they're just kind of a weird halfway point,
yeah,
I guess.
I can see that.
Like, don't get me wrong. They are, hardware-wise, they are pretty powerful. Like, I was reading about, like the processing power and stuff on them, and they're like, unless you probably have, like, a brand new motherboard, like fresh off the factory, they're getting pretty close to being almost up there with PC gaming.
That was the other thing I was going to mention. These, at what point do new game consoles become just lackluster PC towers? Are they just PCs that can do less?
I think they just got there.
Yeah. Okay.
And like, I'll admit, it is time for new consoles. I mean, the ones we have are starting to feel pretty long in the tooth.
Sure. But if
they gotta have that killer app.
They have to have that killer app. And if there's no, I mean, I know there are graphical increases and there's processing power increases between the PS4 and the PS5 or the Xbox One X, S, and the Xbox Series X, which, oh, it's a mouthful. A confusing mouthful. But if there's not that much of a difference graphics-wise or processor-wise, then it's not worth putting $600 down for a marginal difference in gameplay.
Yeah.
They both came standard with solid-state hard drives, which was already leaps and bounds over what they did before.
Right, but they made it very, you know, relatively easy, or not, I guess maybe not easy, but it's more doable now than before to just mod a system yourself. So you could just pop in a solid state drive into one of your other systems, into one of the older ones.
Yeah.
So I guess I still just don't understand, like, why couldn't they, well, I mean, I know why they couldn't wait another 6 months until there was an actual, like, a real game that's going to blow the roof off of people. And it's because it's the holiday season. They got to put something out. They can't wait 6 months. They have to put something out by Black Friday.
Yeah.
It's like, it'd be one thing if, say that Miles Morales only came out on the 5. It might have been something different.
That would have been different, but they're not going to cut their nose off when it comes to the holiday sales, because the other thing we're finding with these, I've been seeing reports on with these systems, is they are increasingly difficult to get your hands on. It almost seems as though they under-manufactured them, like both of them.
I'm sure they did it on purpose.
They always do.
And I don't understand. I mean, I don't understand that. It's not like they're going to benefit from the secondhand speculator market, right? Like,
and they already got the heat. They don't have to build the heat on them.
Yeah.
Like, video games are popular enough now that people are going to want the new thing, regardless if there's like some weird scarcity hype.
Games are popular. Consoles are popular. What else are we going to do right now? You know, I mean, there's not a whole lot of options right at this very moment, but I just don't understand, like, whether they print, they make 1,000 PS. I mean, this is just ballpark numbers. This is nowhere near what they actually did, but it doesn't matter if they made 1,000 PS5s or 10,000 PS5s. When they sell it, they're still going to sell them for $600 a piece. So what is creating a false scarcity really doing, other than emboldening scalpers to turn around and flip it for funds that the
standard
Sony's Sony and Microsoft aren't going to see?
I've already seen people peddling PlayStations for $900.
Yeah, and
for the discless one,
and that's ridiculous. So I guess I don't understand. You know what? Leave me with my rinky-dink wind-up Switch. I know the graphics aren't the best, but doggone it, they're trying. And
I'm about ready for a new Switch, though, to be honest.
I'm getting there.
When these new consoles get going and we start seeing more and more of it, it's going to make the Switch look just progressively stankier.
Well, yeah, but at least the Switch has the portability option.
Yeah.
So I think they get at least a little bit of a pass with that. But yeah, I would say this time next year, when the hype is down on PS5s and Xboxes, and Nintendo's really the only game in town with a new one, they'll put out a Switch Pro, or what I'd like to think they're going to call it, a Switch Heavy, because they put out the Switch Lite. I would like the Switch Heavy.
The Super Switch Chunk Edition.
The Thick Switch. So the Switch with two C's.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I got all the way through No More Heroes and have started the second one, and they're just both so good.
Oh, good. I've been holding off.
I said that last time we did a show, but they're so good. Buy these games.
Yeah, I've been holding off on them for right now, but I will pick them up sooner rather than later because they do look really good. They look like a lot of fun.
The first one is better than the second one by a pretty wide margin, but they're both good games.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to the third one.
Yeah, it's going to be real good.
Yeah. Speaking of things that are released or going to be released soon to wide appeal, McRib's coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not back now. It's going to be coming back soon, like within the next month or so, I believe.
Get you an exact date.
Yeah, get me an exact date because, yeah.
Because it's in my search history.
Fantastic.
It's December 2nd.
December 2nd. Okay, so we have a couple weeks. A couple weeks to gear up for the McRib. And listen, 2020 needs something. If the McRib is what's going to save 2020, I welcome it.
Yeah.
Because it's been a couple years. It's been a grip since we've had a McRib.
Oh, it feels like it.
Yeah, it was. It's not a yearly thing. It's like it's been a while.
I need that rendered pork meat pressed into the shape, the general shape of a rack of ribs. I always get the onions taken off, though. I don't like.
Oh
them.
Yeah,
I'm
you
here
don't.
For their uncooked raw onions on it. No, thank you.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was gonna say, if only there were some kind of Flintstones movie to tie in with the McRib, because that's the first time. I don't know if that was the first time they made the McRib, but that's the first time I remember there being a McRib, because they're like, hey, get your Flintstones live action movie glasses along with your McRib, because hey, remember the intro to the Flintstones? There's a rib in there.
I want them to bring me out a McRib so big it tips my car on its side.
Wow.
Yeah, there we go. There we go.
Okay, so I'm on the wiki for the McRib.
The McRibby wiki?
The McRicky.
Yep.
It's been around since 1981, I guess.
81? Wow.
That predates the Flintstones live action movies.
It by at least 10 years, yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that they introduced it when the price of pork was very low. When they got a good deal on a lot of cheap pork.
Pork or pork byproduct, yes.
Yeah.
This always reminds me of that Simpsons episode where Homer was chasing the, was it the McCrusty Krusty rib sandwich or something?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Krusty had to like come out to the crowd and say, this is it. There's nothing left. The animal that we used to create the Krusty rib, it's gone extinct. Homer asks him, what, you mean like pigs? He goes, no, think smaller, think more legs.
Let's see here. It was removed in 1985. It was brought back in 1989, 1990, 91, 92, 93, 94. They brought it back nationally for the Flintstones movie.
There it is. There it is. I want to say it's been at least 4 or 5 years since we've had the McRib. Well, jump ahead to the most recent McRib.
Oh, there were a bunch of farewell tours from 2007 to like 2008. Oh, 2009. And celebration of London Olympics 2012. Oh, no, it was Australia and New Zealand for the McRib.
That doesn't count because I'm talking
2012.
U.S. national McRib times.
McDonald's announced that the McRib's annual release was delayed until December 17th, 2012.
Okay.
Oh, that's the United Kingdom.
I'm seeing 2017.
Yeah.
McRib was made limited
return in the United States and Australia in participating locations in October of 2018.
Okay, so it's been a couple years then.
Yeah.
That feels right to me.
Okay, all right. my question is, when are they going to bring back the McPizza?
There's that one McDonald's in Ohio where you can still get it.
I know. When the troubles are over, I'm going to drive down and get a McPizza.
Man,
we have to make a road trip of it.
Yeah, I'll go down and get a McCheese pizza.
But no, I used to eat the McDonald's pizza all the time.
And that's what I would exclusively eat the McDonald's pizza when I was a kid.
My mom hated it.
Oh yeah.
She said every time I ate it, it made my breath smell so bad. I don't know how true that is, but that's what she said. And I barely remember it. That was also back in the day of, like, you know, Pizza Hut pan pizzas and getting X-Men VHS tapes.
I still have one of those X-Men VHS tapes. Night of the Sentinels, uh-huh. Part 1.
They only released two of them.
Yeah.
I have the Pride of the X-Men.
That's something worth hanging on to. Yeah, that one's hard to come by. That one's a collector's.
Or reading enough books to get your free pizza or whatever.
Oh yeah, yep. Get some book it.
McRib consists of a restructured boneless pork patty. Meat restructuring was developed by the U.S. Army to deliver low-cost meat to troops in the field.
Patriotic.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Support the troops with the McRib.
So you're saying the McRib tastes like America.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
There's probably a little more truth to that than we'd all like to admit. But anyway.
I don't know. Calling anything McDonald's has meat, I feel like constitutes possibly, like, you know, lying under oath or something.
Listen, yes, we know.
The process was refined by a Natick Army Labs meat scientist, Dr. Roger Mandingo.
Oh, now you're making that up.
No, I'm not. That's his name.
That's his name. Wow.
Mandingo.
Oh, wow. Hi, I'm Dr. Mandingo, meat scientist.
Good night, everybody. Let's move on to other news.
Let's move on, yeah.
The McRib mines bear. I didn't put this on the list, but they did announce that they're bringing Tiny Toon Adventures back.
Really?
Yes. They don't have a trailer, and all they had was like a concept art drawing of Buster and Babs. But it's a thing.
Hey, that's excellent. Is it in the same vein as the Animaniacs reboot?
That's the vibe I got.
Okay, then they're on the right track.
It was just like a tweet, so.
Well, that's awesome. Tiny Toons was amazing. Introduced me to They Might Be Giants.
That's true.
Everything goes down the hole.
Everything goes down the hole. Yep. Oh yeah.
I always felt like the Animaniacs were kind of like the point where Tiny Toons was trying to get to.
Yes.
And like to have them both exist simultaneously is kind of weird. But it's fine.
It's, yeah, I'm okay with that. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It's like another year in the creation box, and Tiny Toons would have been Animaniacs. Like,
yeah.
It was heading that direction.
But also Tiny Toons was made back when, like, Looney Tunes and everything was still...
Well, it had that resurgence. Culture. Yeah, it had that resurgence because of the... was it around Space Jam? It was before Space Jam.
It was before Space Jam.
Because I know there was a big resurgence in, like, the very early, like, 89, 90, and then it had Looney Tunes had another resurgence around Space Jam. And Space Jam was, like, 94, I think?
That sounds right.
Yeah.
I would have probably been about the third grade, I think.
That would have been 94, yeah.
Because I remember doing... I Believe I Can Fly for a school musical.
Perfect. Perfect.
But also back then, Warner Brothers had, like, you know, Warner Brothers stores.
Oh, man. I always loved going in the Warner Brothers store.
Me too.
But again, they don't really have cultural relevance anymore.
Do you remember the Warner Brothers catalog that you can get sent?
No.
Yes, it was a thing. And I remember this not because we had it, but because there was an ad on the VHS before the Michael Keaton Batman, the first Batman movie. It was Daffy Duck and Bugs Bunny talking about, hey, you can get your new starter jacket from the Warner Brothers magazine. Just call this 800 number and order yours today.
You got to have a sweet starter jacket.
You got to.
1995.
Heck yeah.
Also, Space Jam was 1996.
96. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, man. That'd be weird with, like, if Tiny Toons came back. Like, it's great for me.
I'm cool with it.
I mean, I feel like a lot of cartoons I loved as a kid are kind of, like, making comebacks in a way.
Because a lot of the creators that of shows and people that, you know, have worked their ways up in our, you know, the production, show production, that sort of thing, are our age and are remembering, hey, remember that thing I liked when I was a kid? Let's make more of that thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, Animaniacs coming back. Now Tiny Toons, apparently.
Yeah. Let's bring back Batman, the animated series.
Yeah, let's bring back some Bruce Timm.
Yeah. Well, you know what else they're thinking about trying to bring back? Walker, Texas Ranger.
This is true.
Yeah, they did release that trailer.
Yeah.
And it's got one of those supernatural boys.
It's got one of the supernaturals, and oh boy. Hold on to your 10-gallon hat, because I bet that guy can't even do a roundhouse. What's the point of doing Walker, Texas Ranger if you can't do a freaking roundhouse?
Was he trained by Bruce Lee? I doubt it.
Like, my listen. Thing is,
if Jared Padalecki did do a roundhouse kick, it would be terrifying because the man's like 8 feet tall.
Well, that's, yeah. Well, one, he's yeah. All, and two,
he's all arms and legs.
If they wanted to do a down south cop show, great. More power to him. There's plenty of stories they could tell. But Chuck Norris is Cordell Walker. He is Walker, Texas Ranger. It's just, it's like casting someone as Mr. T in something.
It's like the pictures.
And not B.A. Baracus. I mean, Mr. T. Hey there, rapper Common. You are now Mr. T. Doesn't work.
Just give Wynonna Earp another season.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead.
Yeah. And like this
show is pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But like this Walker, Texas Ranger thing, it's not going to have that goofy level of just outside of believability melodrama attached to it. And they're going to try to ground it and they're going to try to make it not stupid. Walker, Texas Ranger was stupid. Have you guys gone back and watched it recently?
It was I watched it.
I've seen all the clips that Conan would play on late night when he had the lever.
There's a reason why he had a million different clips, because that show was rock stupid, but that's what made it fun. And
it almost seemed like it didn't know how stupid it was, too.
And that was the magic of it. It was,
yeah.
It was so dumb that it wrapped back around to become endearing. This show, they're probably going to have like a season-long arc with, like, it's not a episodic show like the original show was, and they're gonna give the characters like actual characterization and like wants and goals. They're gonna try to make them three-dimensional characters. A Texas Ranger named Walker is not a three-dimensional character.
He's gonna be like, who killed my brother Strider?
Strider Walker?
Strider Walker.
The last king of Gondor. played by Viggo Mortensen.
No, they would get the other guy from
Jensen Ackles.
Yeah, whatever his name is. Supernatural 2. I don't know. And among and
the Luigi, the Supernatural Luigi. I mean, like, one's Mario and one's Luigi, right?
Well, yeah, but I guess if this guy is like 10 feet tall, like Josh has said, this guy may very well be the Luigi.
I mean,
that's even worse.
Yeah, right?
Jared Padalecki is the Luigi of Supernatural.
Yeah. Well, do you remember when they tried to bring back MacGyver? It's like a similar situation. You can't bring back MacGyver. Not in this day and age. In this economy?
Back MacGyver. It was called MacGruber.
MacGruber. There was a long talk about Upper Deckers, and I don't want to bring it up on the show. But like, yeah, I watched the first episode of the new MacGyver. I was like, okay, I'm going to give this thing a shot because I have nothing. I have an hour to kill.
How's he going to get out of this one?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, in the realm, in the day and age where we have cell phones and things of that nature, like modern technology, MacGyver doesn't matter anymore. MacGyver doesn't count. To a lesser extent, same with Knight Rider. Oh my God, there's a computer in the car. What a novel concept.
I feel like every new MacGyver would be like, well, I took my phone and then I made this out of it.
Yeah. Modern MacGyver is an app developer.
I used the flash on my phone light bulb to light this on fire and then we're free.
Yeah. Or if there just happens to be a cell phone jammer in every situation in the new MacGyver. It's like, oh man, I'm trapped in this burning building with only toothpaste and a little bit of flint and my cell phone. Oh, a dip, a beans, a cell phone jammer. Can't use that.
Like the bad guy would just be a guy who sells cell phone jammers.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So what we're saying is, hey, MacGyver, let us come right for you. We have some ideas.
Yeah. It's like if you go back and like look at old TV shows, like me and Nicole were talking about this like yesterday or the day before. Like we were talking about like Seinfeld. Take a show out of its like antiquated element. A lot of the storylines and stuff don't make sense anymore.
So,
X-Files.
The X-Files.
Mulder
would
be
one.
Like, yeah, I saw an alien here. I took a picture of it with my phone.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think of that? What do you think of that, Scully?
Hey, smoking man, choke on this. But yeah, well, like we said on the last episode that we did, Seinfeld, every situation in Seinfeld is solved by a cell phone and people talking to each other. That's it. Case closed.
Hello. Now, thanks to COVID, every TV show I watch feels like it's in an alternate reality.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
It's like always like, oh, they shouldn't be standing that close.
Yeah. Jerry and George are sitting in a booth next to each other? That close?
They went out to a restaurant? Oh, God, that's irresponsible.
They're yelling in each other's faces without a mask? Can you imagine the spit episode being done today?
Oh, nasty.
At least the Mandalorian doesn't take his mask off.
Hey, Mandalorian has the right idea.
All right, the way.
That is the way. And I'll tell you what, with that, let's go ahead and wrap things up for the week. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
And you can give us a call on the Nerd Overload hotline. The number is 586-372-8020. Leave us a voicemail and we might play it on the show. What old TV show would work the worst if they reboot it?
Just the absolute worst?
Yeah. That's kind of a high concept one, but I believe in you.
Yeah. Okay, you know what? We have a minute. Let's go round robin. Pick one. I'm going to say, well, first thing that came to mind was Manimal, but actually Manimal would work so much better.
Oh, this is a tough one. I feel like the $6 million man, because of inflation, he'd be pretty crappy.
He would, yeah. They'd shove like a Betamax in him or something.
Actually, with healthcare the way it is, that's just like he'd just have like a regular operation for that much.
Yeah, right.
He'd come out the same, maybe a little worse.
Oh, right. And yeah, you can find all of our back episodes on various podcast apps such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. And finally, I'd like to thank David Pencil for the use of our intro and outro. You can find more of his stuff over at davidpencil.com. So again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Peace out.